Country Club FM.
Bob Almanac today. We've gone how many days now without a Bob Almanac salute? Let's keep it that way.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. It's been a better than a week, I would tell you.
Today is Thursday, October 12th, 285th day of the year. This is the date that is believed to be the date that Christopher Columbus, an Italian explorer, sighted Watling Island in the Bahamas and set foot on the Western Hemisphere, what he thought was India. He thought it was India, and he was trying to go to the Indies, and that's why there's a West Indies and an East Indies as far as an archipelago of islands. And, well, he was looking for a trade route, of course, as you know. They needed more spices. Right. They needed spices faster. They needed them cheaper. And they were looking for a new inn. I don't know if they found any spices here in the Western Hemisphere in the continents of North and South America, which, of course, is named after Vespucci. What's his name? Is Amerigo Vespucci. That's what America's named after, not Columbus.
Right.
And we're, you know,
well, he didn't find India. That's everybody, for sure. He was,
and, you know, are canceling Columbus because of what he did. He did not treat the natives well.
No.
Genocide, various other things. You know, but he wasn't the only one who did that.
No.
A lot of that's what was done in that era of colonization. What would you say?
Colonization. Yeah.
Colonialism. Colonialism is the term. I think Amerigo Vespucci, we should have a day for him.
Right. Let's start a petition.
Yeah. So that was this date. And as you know, and we've stated this before, Christopher Columbus never stood foot anywhere where the United States is right now.
No.
He was never in Florida. Never made his way up to New England.
Boston. Yeah.
Or Boston. Right. Or anywhere.
Right. No.
Gulf Coast. Nothing. So there's that. Let's go 1609 here on this date.
Tree blind mice in a row. Tree blind mice, there they go. Marching down the street, single file. To a calypso beat all the while. They're looking
the calypso beat, 3 mile or three blind mice. Or maybe even 3 mile island, who knows. 3 mile island, 3 mile island. See,
it could work.
See how it glows. See how it glows. Green smoke. The song Three Blind Mice was published in London for the first time. This date, 1609. That's a long time ago. Apparently, in London at the time, there was a rash of blindness going on through the rat population. And that inspired the composer to write Three Blind Mice.
Yeah. Song was all over the radio in 1609.
It was huge. And of course, if you are in charge of the music or a PA announcer at a baseball game,
right,
and they're going with the three, even if it's four umpires, don't you dare play that song because they will escort you out of the stadium.
Yeah, that
it's
will
happened
not be well
on
received.
More than one occasion.
Right.
1609 is when that song was written. 1901, Teddy Roosevelt renamed the executive mansion the White House. It was not known as the White House.
No.
Until 1901.
So nice that was call,
kind of
Teddy.
Kind of a big deal. I mean, it's kind of a obvious, right? No-brainer. What else are you going to
call
the thing?
It was a big White House.
Executive mansion. This doesn't roll off the tongue. You can't call it a castle. You know, we're not ruled by a king.
Right.
1918 in the news.
It's a fire, I guess, that, you know, personally means more to me because I know people who have gone through it. Both of my parents went through it. I grew up in northern Minnesota, a little store north of Cloquet, about 15 miles, called Burnett. That area was ran over by the fire in 1918. It wasn't just one fire again, it was multiple fires, multiple starts. And as the day went on, you know, many of these smaller fires merged into much larger fires.
So before we had that horrible fire in Maui, this Maui fire recently, a few month and a half ago or whatever it was, that was the deadliest fire in the United States since the 1918 Cloquet fire, which occurred on this date in 1918. 453 people killed.
Wow.
Injures or displaces 52,000 people.
Unbelievable.
And it just wasn't Cloquet. It was Moose Lake, Cloquet, Kettle River, and many of the small towns, like he mentioned right there, Burnett, and any of the other small towns that were there at the time. Many of them didn't come back and were probably wiped off the map.
Swallowed
because
up.
Of the Cloquet horrible. Fire, which came a couple of decades after the Hinckley Fire.
Right.
Fires often occurred in the fall because things are dry and they weren't doing proper things when it came to the lumber industry and the logging. And leaving a lot of fuel on the ground. Get a spark from the railroad, Neil.
And it doesn't take long to get out of control.
Seen that far too many times, especially in those days. How about 1928 this day?
Fred Smyt Jr., the man in the iron lung, sees his daughter for the first time. The little girl was born on September the 22nd, weighing 8 pounds. Smyt has lived in an iron lung for 4 years, being stricken with infantile paralysis in Peiping.
He was the man in the iron lung, and it was this date in 1928 that the iron lung was first demonstrated at a Boston hospital. I wonder if that was St. Allegius, home of St. Elsewhere. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or maybe Children's Hospital there in Boston. But it was an artificial respirator. It was used to resuscitate a young girl who had become unconscious from respiratory failure. 1928. Of course, we have modern respirators now.
Right.
Many of them, we stocked up on those during the COVID-19 pandemic and didn't end up needing them as much as, you know, some areas needed them, were in demand, but we had, there were some places that ended up with a surplus. I don't know if they ended up distributing them to places that could use them or what, but there, and the iron lung, the iron lung is still in use today. There's still a couple of people. Yeah. According to my research this morning, there's still a couple of people in the United States that still, require an iron lung for survival, for help breathing. This date, it was a big contraption. The guy's head is just kind of sticking out at the end. It was
it looks cumbersome.
It's very cumbersome and bizarre. It looks like something out of science fiction, but it was life saving. How about in 31? Johnny Weissmuller made the way from the big screen, or from the pool to the big screen. He became the new Tarzan on this date, 1931.
I thought it was Carol Burnett there for a moment.
She does a good job at that.
Oh, she did a great Tarzan yell.
Tugging at her ear. That was this date in 31. How about 33?
Welcome to the Rock.
The Rock, Alcatraz. Did they ever fill Alcatraz with a bunch of goose-stepping morons? Welcome to the Rock.
They did.
But that was this date in 33 where Alcatraz, the U.S. Department of Justice, acquired Alcatraz from the U.S. Army. It had been an Army fort going all the way back, I think, to the Civil War. Well back into the 1800s, at least. That was an Army fort, and then it became Alcatraz, the prison. And then Clint Eastwood escaped.
Wow, yeah, pretty impressive.
1933. How about 1960 or this date?
The 1960 session of the United Nations General Assembly convenes one of the most momentous diplomatic gatherings in modern history, with the crisis-ridden Congo, one of 13 African nations admitted, along with Cyprus, to bring UN membership to a new high of 96. Nearly all are represented by high officials. Nikita Khrushchev leads a parade of Soviet and satellite chieftains unprecedented on American shores.
Nikita Khrushchev was here. He was here in America. He was at the UN, and this is the date that he banged his shoe on his desk at the UN.
Yep.
You've seen video of that.
Oh, yeah.
He was not happy. You know, the U.S. has been spying on him, and he wasn't happy about the U.S. He had a deep disdain for the United States and capitalism. But, you know, actually, it was misconstrued. It was not properly, when you look at from Russian to English, people didn't really understand. It wasn't translated properly because he was actually banging his shoe, showing that because of communism, we don't have hammers. So you have to use shoes to hammer in nails.
Yeah.
In communism, you know, all the rich have the hammers. If you're on the poorer side of things, you don't have hammers.
Nope, I guess not.
And the other sad part was it was a very expensive shoe. It was a leather loafer, something on the high end. Again, an example of communism and its broken system at that time. He didn't realize that he was actually contradicting himself.
He really
because
was.
He had this nice high-end shoe that he's waving. And then the lower people in communism, you know, the common man, they can't even afford shoes like that.
Right.
their house isn't worth, or their apartment isn't. We don't live in houses in Moscow. It's these apartments. Yeah. They can't even afford those kind of shoes. So I think Nikita Khrushchev did more harm than he did good, pounding
all
that
the way
shoe
around
on this state. And then stuff started flying out of the shoe. They didn't know what it was, and he lost his Dr. Scholl's. That came flying out too. Are you surprised that Nikita Khrushchev would rely on Dr. Scholl's?
No, I'm not.
He had an odor problem, Neil, and that's all right. Yeah. Many of those big premiers, regardless of what country they're from, they had
smelly feet.
They had smelly feet. Yep, they're on their feet a lot.
Yeah, they are.
So there's that. 71.
Jesus Christ! Jesus Christ! Who are you? What have you sacrificed? Jesus Christ! Jesus Christ!
Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice had a little musical called Jesus Christ Superstar. Premiered on Broadway in 71. They got a lot of mileage out of this, too.
Yeah, they did pretty well.
They did. Broadway premiere of Jesus Christ Superstar, 1971. The first ever superstar, I would say, and maybe still the only one.
Probably.
Yeah.
Top of the heap there.
Exactly. Kanye West might argue, but right. 1979.
On October 12th, 1979, Chris Ford hit the league's first ever three-point shot, changing the game of basketball forever.
Chris Ford hit the first ever three-point basket. Also happened to be the debut of Larry Legend.
With the Celtics, yeah.
Yeah, in 79 with the Boston Celtics at the Boston Garden against the Houston Rockets, 114-106. It was a victory over Houston. And Chris Ford went on to coach.
I was
not a
fan.
Celtics. You didn't like Chris Ford?
Nope, didn't like anybody on the Celtics. I was a huge 76ers fan.
Oh,
that was their arch nemesis.
But then what about when Boston played the Lakers? Did you yell, beat L.A., beat L.A.? Or not? Or were you for the Lakers?
I don't know.
Okay.
I can't remember.
That's all right.
I did. Those were monumental series.
You remembered one thing there. I mean, that beggars can't be choosers.
I was probably more of a Laker fan than a Celtic fan at that point.
1986.
Now it's time for Church Chat.
Hello again. I mean, it's Strict, and this is Church Chat. Today on Church Chat, we're going to be discussing Satan. You remember him, don't you? The Prince of Darkness, the Antichrist, the Beastmaster. Probably rings a little bell in your head now, doesn't it? Well, isn't that special?
Yes, the church lady debuted on this date. What does she say her name is? Hang on.
Time for Church Chat.
Hello again. I'm Enid Strict. And
Enid Strict. That might have been the only time that they used her actual name in the show. Because I've seen all of those, and I don't remember that. Enid Strict.
I didn't either. She was always just the church lady.
Yeah, the very, I'm the church lady, and this is Church Chat. I think they change it to church lady, because she doesn't say church lady there, right?
No.
She just says Enid Strict, and this is church chat. So they changed it to church lady. The rest is history. Church lady first appeared, Dana Carvey. Gosh, that was a good bit.
That was hilarious.
1986. How about 87? Remember this?
Any pitch could be the last. Reardon has it. The Minnesota Twins are in the World Series.
Twins won it on this date, and from a very unlikely group of champions, as Bob Costas would go on to say. 87 ALCS. Twins were magical that year. They got clutch hits. Unlike this year's teams, no clutch hits.
Very, very few.
During the playoffs. So that was 87. 89, 2 years later.
4 years ago, the Cowboys paid Herschel $5 million to come to Dallas. On Thursday, they paid him over $1 million to leave. Walker was traded to the Vikings for five players and as many as seven draft choices. But
ouch! Herschel Walker trade. Mike Lynn thought we were one player away.
Well.
Still could not get past the 49ers.
No.
The Herschel Walker trade happened on this date, 89. Dallas got a number of players.
Mortgaged our future.
Yeah, and out of the draft picks they got, they got Emmitt Smith, Russell Maryland, Kevin Smith, Darren Woodson, a few of their great offensive linemen.
Wow.
89, if we could only go back in time. 91.
On to yours, the Statler Brothers Show, starring the Statler Brothers. And now, the most awarded act in the history of country music, the entertainers on and off the record, Harold, Bill, Jimmy, and Don, the Statler Brothers.
Yeah, the Statler Brothers. Their show debuted on TNN on this day, and it was an anchor of their programming. And there they are. That was this day, 91. And one more, another musical note.
U.S. aviation crash investigators are in Monterey County, California tonight, trying to determine the cause of an accident that killed John Denver. The country rock singer died after the experimental plane he was piloting crashed into the Pacific just after takeoff.
Sad day today, John Denver dying. But of course, he died doing what he loved, and he loved aviation. He loved being out in the nature, out in nature. He loved being at his house up in the mountains.
Yep.
But
it was sad for all of us.
Yes. Yeah, it was sad because he could still be performing, and we missed his performances for so many years. That was just 97. Yeah, he was 53. And it was in 1997. We got to get on to birthdays now today. Let's get on to the birthdays today. More music here. Sam of Sam and Dave is 88 today.
Yeah.
Sam David Moore. That's his middle name. And he works with Dave Prater. So that could have been confusing. And who could forget the duet Sam Moore did with Conway Twitty?
Oh,
Rainy Night in Georgia.
Rainy Night in Georgia. Yeah. So good.
Tony Kubek today is on our birthday list. Jay's still around.
And you know, Bob, on the other side of it, what two wins in the opposition park? Harmon Killebrew, the great Hall of Famer, right down there with Tom Kelly. But really, what kind of confidence booster will this be when they play those World Series games on the road, knowing they could come into this park?
Remember how bad the Twins were on the road, but they went and on the road clinched in Detroit, as we mentioned. That was on this date, and there's Tony Kubek. He was paired with Bob Costas in the coverage of the 87 ALCS. They were good together. He was a good color commentator, I thought.
Well, Kubek, yeah, got to start with Kurt Gowdy, and
well, certainly.
Yeah, he did it for many years and was a fine shortstop for the Yankees in his
long
playing
time
days.
Six World Series. He's 88 today.
This moment won't last forever.
Susan Anton.
Darling,
oh,
we
wow. Forgot she was a fine singer.
Yeah, the actress. She's singing here with Frank Knobloch. This was a country hit, top 10.
Oh, yeah. Skyler Knobloch and Bacard.
Yeah, here he is with Susan Anton. Of course, famously was much taller than Dudley Moore.
Right.
She's 73. Lead singer of Tesla. Not the cars. Not Nikola Tesla either.
No.
The rock band Tesla. Huge when I was in high school. That
yeah.
album, Mechanical Residence, was outstanding.
They've been to the Medina several times.
He's 65 today. Wolverine.
Who's the furball?
Hank McCoy, Secretary of Mutant Affairs.
Right, right. The Secretary. Nice suit.
Henry, this is Logan. He's
Wolverine. I hear you're quite an animal. Look who's talking.
Wolverine. Hugh Jackman, 55, and he is so much more than an action actor. He's a song and dance man. He's won Tony Awards.
He is extremely skilled.
And The Greatest Showman is so impressive.
Yes.
With Hugh Jackman, 55.
Fourth down and six. And Wright fumbles. Picked up by Leon Lett. Can he go all the way? It's a 60-yard run. He's being chased by Beebe.
He's celebrating at the 10.
No, they are not. That's
Leon Lett. It was a blowout. Anyway, what was the final of that one? 52-10 or whatever it was?
Yeah, it was very one-sided.
Cowboys, Bill. Speaking of Cowboys and Herschel Walker trade, you can take a look at right there, the fruits of their labor. Don Beebe chased him down. Leon Lett, the defensive lineman. And then he did it again.
Wide receiver, yeah.
And Don Beebe, yes, was the wide receiver. Thank you. He did the same thing or a similar thing where he touched the ball in a blocked field goal in the snow at Texas Stadium, like on Thanksgiving Day, maybe the next
remember
year.
Remember that? Yeah. Yes.
And they go, oh, no, not Leon Lett. And it was Leon Lett.
It was.
Who today is 55. Dixie Chicks' Marty McGuire, 54 today. Multi-instrumentalist. When it comes to
she's
string,
very talented,
she's very good.
Yeah.
Of course, they're now known as the Chicks, but just like Myanmar and Burma, they'll always be the Dixie Chicks to me. Marty McGuire, happy birthday today.
So, since the charter of the student council says that those who tamper with the nominations or the elections must be disqualified, here is your new student body president, the only person on either ticket who was not a crook, Richard Milhouse Stabone.
Richard Milhouse Stabone, and you know what his nickname was on Growing Pains, right, Neil? Richard Milhouse Stabone. I think the kids just answered the question there. Kirk Cameron there introducing his good pal, Boner. Kirk Cameron, 53, from Growing Pains. And one more.
Hey, you want us more? S'more what?
No,
you want us more. I haven't had anything yet, so how can I have some more of nothing?
Shut up!
You're killing me, Smalls.
The kid who played Smalls, Scotty Smalls in the Sandlot, 42 today. That's a classic bit. Of course, very Who's on First like.
Yes.
With the S'mores. Tom Geary, who was in Sandlot, he's 42. Smalls is 42, Neil.
42, wow. Unbelievable. All right, gone but not forgotten. Baseball Hall of Famer Joe Cronin, he was the, I believe, the president of the American League there for quite some time.
Don't you have a ball with his signature on it or something?
I do, yeah. Jim Rice, foul ball, had his signature on it, too. Joe Cronin, born on this day in 1906. And I remember him from Lassie. He was in that and some other things, movies, National Velvet. Arthur Space is an actor you may recall, 1908. Now, an unmistakable voice of Pavarotti.
Those people who run me off the road into the ditch and tell me we need more opera on the almanac, here you go. At least they choose areas of the road where there's no bridge abutment.
Maybe the most recognizable name of the three tenors, arguably.
There's Pavarotti, Placido Domingo, and then the other guy.
Right.
It's always the other guy.
Luciano Pavarotti, born on this day, 1935, with the Temptations. Wonderful singer, Melvin Franklin.
He was the bass singer. He sang the low parts, Neil. Can you hear him in the background there? The bass line,
yes,
you know it.
Yes. Yeah, Melvin Franklin there. Doing the low end, 1942. Pat D'Annunzio was a member of the Smithereens.
Yeah, lead singer. I'll see everything brought to here. I'll see everything through. I'll do everything I have to do just to win the love of a girl.
The Smithereens.
They're a good 90s band. Good band. One of my favorites from the 90s.
The Mallrats, who we saw on Saturday, they may have a Smithereens song in their set list. That was 1955 that man was born. And the troubled young actor from Eight Is Enough, Adam Rich.
Excuse me, but aren't you Merle the Pearl?
Well, some folks like to call me that.
Well, I call you that, and I think you're the best pitcher in baseball.
Well, thanks, Sarah.
Nicholas Bradford,
and Earl the Pearl went on to say, I would have thought that you would have been more of a Pete Rose fan with that haircut.
Right, his haircut was very similar to the bowl kind of Pete Rose.
We just lost him like in January, just this past year, Adam Rich, sadly.
He was born on this day in 1968, so he was a young man.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all gone, though, Jim, and not forgotten.
My staff looked and looked and looked to try and find somebody notable that you forgot, and we didn't find anybody. So
a rare victory for my staff.
Yeah, a rare victory for your staff, and they get all their bonuses this time.
Right on.
Would you like to start a Bob-a-thon with Janie Baker's Love Slave, Shenandoah, Older Women, Ronnie McDowell, or Love Out Loud, ETC?
I haven't heard Janie Baker in a while. Let's do that Shenandoah.
Here we go.
WQPM, Princeton, WLKX, Forest Lake, KDDG, Albany, KDDG, HD1,